The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Today, again, we welcome our podcast, our YouTube audience, and our Facebook Live audience. And I'm going to talk about today overcoming discouragement when God's plan takes a direction that we did not expect. Let me talk about that again. Overcoming discouragement when God's plan for our lives takes a turn that we didn't expect. Matthew 11:1-6. Matthew 11:1-6. Let's get on this thing. Now, it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John the Baptist had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to Jesus, quote, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go back," and I'm just kind of adding a little bit to this to try to bring this out. "Go back to John and tell him the things which you have both heard and see." In verse 5, "The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf can hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed," now this next part, verse 6, is probably the most important part of this entire context. "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." So this is the context of where we're going today. Notice here, I want to give you a little bit of a backdrop here. John the Baptist, we all know his MO. We all know his background. We all know that he is the forerunner that was sent. He was prophesied of. He was sent to the wilderness, and he preached, "Prepare the way of the Lord." He preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." He baptized many into repentance at the Jordan River, and eventually took those disciples of his and he directed them into the direction of the Messiah, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So John knew who Jesus was. They actually met. John baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. We all have read this in the Gospels. So John continued, listen to me, in what God had called him and mandated him to do, and that was to be a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." But something interesting happened in the process of John walking out his mandate and walking out the plan that God had ordained for him from the beginning. Watch this. And that was that eventually John's message was no longer seeing a response from the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and even officials there. They were not welcoming his message. They were no longer going to tolerate and stomach the gospel which John preached, which was a gospel of repentance, turning from fornication, turning from adultery, turning from lying and stealing and immorality and all these things, and turning to the Lord and turning, come on, to the Lamb of God. In fact, John's message costed him his freedom and ended up costing him being put in jail or prison and ultimately on death row where he would be beheaded. Now, I want to stop real quick and add this, and then I'm going to insert some stuff here. So here we have John, who is now in prison because of him, watch this, doing what God had called him to do. This was not something that he conspired. This was not something that he desired to do. This was something that he was born to do. He was born to be a voice crying into wilderness. If you remember when Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, when they came together, both of their children leaped in the womb. In fact, John was filled with the Holy Spirit while he was in the womb of Elizabeth. Why? Because you had the forerunner in one womb, and you had the Messiah in the other womb. And come on, even while they were in their mother's womb, understood destiny by the Spirit. So listen to this. So here is John. He's now in prison for doing what God had called him to do, preaching the gospel of repentance, preparing the way of the Lord. And I believe because he was now put in prison and possibly, and I say possibly, knowing the fate that was about to meet him, that he would be met with, he allowed offense to creep in. He allowed doubt to creep in. He allowed unbelief and discouragement to creep in. Why else would he send two of his disciples to Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah? Everybody knew him now as the Messiah. John knew who he was. It's not that he didn't know he was the Messiah, but watch this. See? Oh, come on. I'm getting ready to go somewhere in just a second. As long as everything was going as John perceived and as John believed it should be, and he was seeing thousands upon thousands from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all around the regions coming to him, coming to the Jordan to be baptized by him in the water Jordan for the remission of their sins. Everything is going great. He's seeing the glory of God. He's seeing people coming to repentance. Everything is great. But when things shifted and no longer transpiring as what John perceived that it should be. I didn't say as it should be, but as John perceived it should be. Once things began to take a turn for negative and cost him his freedom, put in prison and put on death row, watch this. He then begins to question whether or not Jesus is even the Son of God. Have you ever read this in Matthew 11 and thought, how in the world could this guy even be questioning this? Let me read this again. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, they said, go and ask him, is he the coming one or do we look for another? So we got to talk about this today. And Jesus answered and solidified this and said, go and tell him. The blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf are hearing, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And tell John, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. See, listen, we wouldn't be having this conversation today, really, if they would have left verse 6 out. If he would have left it at the blind see and they walk and the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised. If he would have left it there to tell John that, then we could end this message today. But the fact that he said and tell John, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Now, why did Jesus say that? Because Jesus understood that offense had crept into John's spirit, or else John would never be questioning whether he was the Messiah to begin with. Come on. It was John. After all, John is the one who directed his own disciples to Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But then that's there. But then we shift gears. And now he says, are you the coming one or do we expect another one? Now, what happened from behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world to are you the coming one or should we expect another? Ready? The answer is the circumstances changed. And because they were not favorable in John's perception, it made him begin to question everything. Now, before you start judging John, I want to ask you something. When you said yes to Jesus, I'm willing to listen. If we took a poll and begin to interview people on Facebook Live, begin to people on the podcast and begin to interview people on YouTube or whatever platforms that you guys are listening to this, if we begin to set you down and ask you, do you remember the day you said yes to him? Most likely most people are going to say yes. And then I would ask you, when you said yes to him, did you expect certain things in your life to come that did, or circumstances to change in the way that it did? Inevitably, I guarantee you the same people are going to say no. Let me explain. See, a lot of people want to follow Jesus as long as they can dictate the outcome. If it's not going to cost me anything, I'll follow him. If it's not going to be a rough road, I'll follow him. If it's not going to cause me to sacrifice things, I'll follow him. If I don't have to give up my friends, I don't have to give up some relationships, I don't have to quit a job that's immoral and that's not right, then I'll follow him. So in other words, it's okay as long as I can add Jesus as an extension or an addition to my routine life. Let me say that again because I got a little bit tongue-tied. As long as I can keep living the life that I'm living, I will follow Jesus and just add him as an addition to my life. In other words, I want to keep on drinking. I want to keep on smoking weed, doing drugs, partying, beating my wife, committing adultery, committing fornication. I want to keep on living the life that I'm living. And I just want Jesus as an addition, as a parachute in the event that I get over my head. I can just pull the cord and hallelujah, Jesus is there to save me. Despite the fact that the gospel says, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, which means to die daily, and follow me. So, listen, guys, we've got a lot of people in the body of Christ right now that have turned their back on God, or they're angry at God, they're discouraged, they're disappointed, they've allowed doubt, unbelief, and fear, and everything else to creep in. And if you would have known them 5 years ago, 10 years ago, they were on fire. They were blazing for God. They were burning a trail for God. And they were a kingdom shaker for the kingdom of God. But something happened from point A to point B. And most of the time, it's because the destiny, listen, God didn't change his mind. God didn't change the plan he had for them. God didn't change their course. He didn't change their destiny. Here it is. He didn't allow them to see the full picture. You want to know, listen, you want to know why God chose to take the children of Israel from Egypt through the wilderness and go to the promised land? And you know, there was shortcuts that he could have took them. He didn't have to take them to the waters of Marah. He didn't have to take them to all these little places that they got hung up and caused many of them to get into doubt and unbelief and all this other stuff. The reason why he chose the path that he chose was because, and you've heard me say this all over again many times, is because he had to get Egypt out of them, even though they were out of Egypt. See, if God showed us the whole picture, many of us would have never said yes to him on day one. Now, let's paint a picture here for a second. Here's John the Baptist. Could you imagine if Jesus went to John the Baptist and he says, listen, John, I want you to be a forerunner for me. I want you, here's what you're going to have to do. I can't have you looking like everybody else. I can't have you talking like everybody else. I got to have you doing unorthodox things, and you're not going to be in a synagogue. I'm sorry. You're not going to have a roof over you. You're not going to have air conditioning. You're not going to have, come on, I'm going to preach my message the way I'm going to preach it. You're not going to have fog machines. You're not going to have strobe lights. You're not going to have a beautiful choir. You're not going to have a projector screen. You're not going to have a climate control. You're going to have you're not going to have nice carpet. No, I'm going to put you out in the middle of the wilderness with locusts and honey and bugs and a bunch of religious Pharisees, and I want you to preach. I don't want you to preach a feel-good, comfortable, humanistic gospel. I want you to preach a hard, rough, tough, a message of repentance and turning away from your sin and turning to God for the kingdom of heaven. Now, he could have said yes there. But I wonder and I question if he would have said on the day he was interviewed for the position, if it was said, now there's one last thing I want to tell you. You won't see this right away, but later on, while you are walking in your destiny, you're going to end up offending someone in a high government position. It's going to cost you your freedom. You're going to be put behind bars. And then ultimately, there's going to be a birthday party, and your head being put on a platter is going to be the wish of a birthday gift. Now, John, knowing that, are you still the man for the job? I wonder what would have been said. But let's go back to the scripture here. Let me go back, Matthew 11. Let me go back to Matthew 11 verse. Now we're going to go down to verse 7. Listen what Jesus said. So as they departed, this is what it says. Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. So now Jesus begins to affirm John the Baptist. I'm going to explain to you why in just a minute. So Jesus said, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft garments are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, and I say to you, and more than a prophet, for this is he whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way before you. So I believe all the disciples are there. Here comes the two disciples of John, and they're all there, and they heard them asking Jesus the question that John had. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Now, I guarantee you, listen, I know how church folks are. A bunch of murmuring started going around the table. Can you believe John the Baptist would question if this is the Messiah? I mean, after all, didn't he guide us, lead us, and direct us to this man and said that this is the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world and to follow him? I can't believe John's. Look at this. John's backslid. Can you believe that? Now he doesn't even believe in the Messiah. He doesn't believe in the prophecies. He doesn't even believe God's own plan for his life. And I believe Jesus heard this going on. And even though Jesus understood and said that blessed is he who is not offended because of me, Jesus affirmed John in the midst of the disciples and said, before you start smack talking John and belittling John and looking down on John because he's in a position of prison and on death row, about to lose his head. And maybe some doubt has crept in him. Maybe some offense has probably reared its head. Maybe some discouragement is rising up in him. But before you write him off, let me affirm him to you. And Jesus said, what did you expect to go out to see? A reed shaking in the wind? No. He made his face like flint. Did you expect a man clothed in soft garments? No, because John didn't dwell in houses of kings, but he wore camel's hair, a leather girdle, and he ate locusts. So Jesus was affirming them while everybody else was trying to write them off. And you say, what's that got to do with me, preacher? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Some of you are not right with God right now. And what I mean by this, yeah, you're going to church. Yeah, you're probably praying and you're probably reading your Bible a little bit, but you've allowed some offense to creep in. You've allowed some discouragement to creep in. You've allowed disappointment to set in. And here's the root of why. Because when you signed up for this thing, you didn't see what you're dealing with today coming down the pike. Let me explain. Let me talk about me for a second, because I've always said, if I talk about me, you can't get offended because I'm not talking about you, but I'm going to talk about me. But I'm willing to bet that when I start talking about me, that the shoe is going to be universal and begin to fit on a lot of people that I'm talking to today. See, when I signed up for this thing in 2000, I never saw that my best friend, who was a youth pastor on fire for God and led me to the Lord, would eventually fall away, be succumbed to a lying, deceiving doctrine of demons, and fall away and no longer serve the Lord. I never saw that coming when I signed up for this thing. I never saw that my mom would die of cancer in 2005 and not be here on this side of heaven to see her two grandchildren. I never saw that when I signed up for this thing. I never saw that my dad would be reinstated back in my life after 23 years of being absent from my entire life. I never saw that coming when I signed up for this thing. I didn't see enemies that I now have today. I didn't see hurts. I didn't see wounds. I didn't see disappointments. I never saw when I signed up for this thing that I would be a part of a church where the pastor would end up falling into adultery in the church and end up splitting the entire church. And we'd have to move out of the entire state and go across another into a whole other different state. I never saw that when I signed up for this thing. But listen to me. I had to make a choice. Even though the sickness came, even though the disappointment came, even though the hurts came, even though the betrayal came, the backstabbing, the abandonment came, come on, all these things came, I had to make a decision. Is God still God? Is he still on the throne? Does he still know the plans that he has for me and their plans of good and to give me a future and to give me a hope and to give me expected end? Has God changed his plan for my life? And the answer is no. The plan is still intact. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all of thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. But in all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Do you know why he tells you don't lean into your own understanding? Because if you try to figure out God's plan in its entirety for your life, I promise you, my friend, you're going to be left with disappointment. I know what it's like to have a parent that lost not one wife to cancer, but then a second wife to cancer. Got so bitter that he didn't want to have anything to do with God. I know what it's like to stand in his house while he's at the hospital, while his second wife, which is my mom, is dying of cancer, and I'm there alone, and I'm having this come on, a shouting match with God, telling God, you can't let this happen. You cannot let my mom die, because if she dies, then it's going to allow his heart to become completely hardened and he will never come to you. So me being foolish as I was, I'm trying to dictate God's plan. I'm sitting here trying to sway God and tell him what he should do, knowing that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is he with that which was, which is, and is to come. He's already been where I haven't been, and he knows the outcome, and I'm trying to tell him how he should do it. And I'll never forget that day, because it was at that very moment that the Spirit of God humbled me. I fell to my knees. I cried out before the Lord, and I understood his sovereignty. John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord and preach a message of repentance in the wilderness. He never performed a single miracle, but led multitudes to be baptized for the remission of their sins. He was commissioned and ordained by God. He directed disciples to Jesus as a lamb that takes away the sins of the world. How could a man who was positioned and commissioned by the Lord prepare the way of the Messiah, even direct people to the Lamb of God, change his perspective to one of questioning who Christ was, and even sending messengers out to get the answer? Listen, how could a young girl who was radically in love with God, who went to Columbine High School, was one of the most radical witnesses to the Lord that probably I've ever seen, but was one of the first ones gunned down and killed during the Columbine massacre. Now, I guarantee you, her parents, and I know they did for a fact because they got up and testified about this, they begin to question, God, how could this happen? Why would this happen? How could you allow this? She was a bold witness for the gospel. But then something happened, not right away, but over time. They discovered her diary, and they begin to read her diary, and they begin to discover that she had such a devotional relationship with God and such communion with God that she even began to perceive, and she knew that she testified to this in her own journal, in her own diary, that she would not live a long life. She even told some of her friends. She would tell some of her siblings that she did not see that she was going to live very long. And she said she even felt like she was going to be a martyr. So God was already preparing her heart for this. And listen, I don't have all this in front of me, but there is some profound things that came out in her journal and her diary. And listen, I watched this. It was a movie based on her life, a powerful movie, awesome movie. And at the end of the movie, her mother is in her room, and she moves her desk by, or she drops something behind her desk, and she pulls her desk out, and on her hand or on the desk is a print. It's a drawing of her hand, of the daughter's hand, and her hand's there. And it says on there, she wrote, one day, these hands will reach the world. And here's the thing, ready? That story of that shooting went global. Mainstream media picked it up, went global. Her story was broadcast on Oprah Winfrey. Her brother came on her, shared his story. It went around the world. Her name and her message, which was the gospel of Jesus Christ, even after her death, was reaching people all around the world. Now listen to this. Here's John the Baptist, who was beheaded in prison but his message is still being carried out from generation to generation. You ready? And his message is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Here's what I'm trying to tell you guys. I'm trying to encourage you today. We're going to pray for some folks right now. If you're watching this today, and listen, I believe there's two types of people here. Allowing questions to creep in. Allowing discouragement to come in. Because the path, this journey, is taking a course that you didn't see coming. And you are, maybe you're ready to throw in the towel. Maybe you're ready to hang this thing up. Maybe you're like, I don't want to pray anymore. I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to read the Bible anymore, preacher, because all this is happening. If that's you today, we're going to pray for you. And then listen to this. Here's the other group of people. If you are on the other side, if you're on the other side of this thing and you know somebody, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a church member, and you have seen them go through some hardships and now they're beginning to doubt God, God's plan, the power of God, church, miracles, whatever. They're offended now because things didn't work out the way they should. And watch this. And now you kind of just wrote them off. And you are speaking down to them. Listen, I want to come along and I want to affirm them today. And I want to affirm you today. Because if you're in that first group, we want to affirm you. But if you're in that second group, I want to encourage you today and remind you that just because they may be in a place right now where they are not where they used to be, doesn't mean that God is finished with them. In fact, the Bible says he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. So we've got some praying to do today, because I believe somebody, it could be one person out there that's listening to this today, and this whole message was for you today. So if you're in that place right now where you signed this contract of this thing, man, you said yes to Jesus, you went to an altar call at a church meeting, a conference, at a gathering, at a crusade, in a home group meeting, whatever the case would be, that you could remember the day you signed up for this thing and you said yes, Jesus, and you didn't see the entire contract. You didn't see the full contract, meaning there is things happening right now that has discouraged you, it's disappointed you, and you've allowed offense to come in. Well, I ain't tithing anymore because I lost my job. So this stuff don't work. I'm not praying anymore because I prayed and prayed and prayed and such still didn't live and they died. I'm not going to church anymore because the pastor fell into sin. Come on, am I talking? Am I on your street now? I'm not serving God anymore because things didn't work out the way I wanted it to. If that's you today, you know who you are right now on this broadcast. We're going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking that the love of God would go through this microphone, go through this broadcast. Your love, your spirit, God, would invade their space right now and begin to supernaturally reveal to them that you are still on the throne, that you have not been moved nor shaken by the circumstances in which they have faced or are facing. You've known about the diagnosis. You knew about the hardship. You knew about the heartache. You knew about the division. You knew about the betrayal. You knew about the lies. You knew about all these things. Lord, I'm reminded, you knew about Judas. But you still loved him. In fact, Lord, I'm reminded of your word that says in the Bible that when you rose up, you took the basin of water and the towel, and you didn't go to Peter first. You didn't go to James, John, or Andrew. You went to Judas. You went to your enemy and loved your enemy. And I believe, Lord God, that we may not understand what's going on, why it's going on, why we're facing the circumstances we're doing, why it's happening the way it is, but we believe based on the word, not our emotions, not our feelings, and not our circumstances, but based on the almighty word, that you who began a good work in us are faithful to complete it. Lord, I'm reminded of Jeremiah 29:11. For you know the thoughts that you have for us. They are thoughts of good, to give us a future, to give us a hope, and to give us an expected end. Lord, there's somebody today that they have, somebody walked out on them and their whole world crashed down. Could it be possible that the individual that walked out on them, the reason why God allowed it is because it was devastating to you? It was going to cause you to stumble. It was going to cause you to fall because you were unequally yoked, and thus you wouldn't depart from them. So God allowed them to leave from you. There's somebody watching today. You used to honor the Lord and your tithes and your offerings, but unforeseen circumstances happen in your finances. Listen, you've got to make your face like flint, and you've got to make that vow. Come hell or high water, come mountain or valley, come plenty or come lack, as for me and my house, we shall honor the Lord. Listen, my family and I, we have always tithed. We have always honored the Lord. Well, I don't believe in tithing. Well, then don't even listen to this. Do what you're going to do. Listen, you want to put your money in bags with holes in it? That's your problem. We have always, but let me, come on. I'm just going to have a little testimony for Jesus. I'm trying to tell you that even when we had more bills than money coming in, we still honored the Lord. And let me just brag on God for a minute. I watched him time after time after time come through supernaturally. Come on. And he did exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask or think. I understand when the psalmist said, I was young and now I'm old, and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken nor a seed beg of bread. I've seen him come through in medical diagnosis and reports. I've seen him come through in marital things. I've seen him come through in family issues. I've seen him come through time after time after time. He is faithful. Even when it didn't make sense. Even when I couldn't figure it out. That's why he said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't lean into your own understanding. Quit trying to figure him out. But in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Let me close it with this right here. I pray right now, Father, I pray that some people right now would choose to make the commitment. They're not going to try to figure this thing out anymore in the natural, but they are going to honor the word of God. They're going to honor the Holy Spirit. They're going to honor the Lord. They're going to trust in him with all their heart. And in all their ways, they're going to acknowledge him. And Lord, we trust today that you're going to direct our paths. For we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And we thank you today. We praise you today. Listen, I was getting ready to close right there, but I got a check in my spirit right now. Listen, some of you, this may not be to you, but you need to go to an individual. You may need to go to that individual that you know. This may not be for you, but it's for them. And you have a close relationship with them. You need to go to them while everybody else has wrote them off and doesn't want to visit them anymore, doesn't want to call them anymore. You need to affirm them. Listen, just give them, pick up the phone and call them. Go visit them and just love on them and say, listen, I know things are hard right now. I know you're in a low place right now, but I just want to let you know that I love you, that God loves you, and that he still has a plan for you. Yeah, they're probably going to be like, listen, I don't want to hear that. But listen, I'm telling you, those are seeds of affirmation. Tell them that you see the greatness in them. Come on, it's time we see the treasures in those earthen vessels like the Holy Spirit sees. You'd be surprised what just sowing that seed of affirmation will do to them. Come on, I pray that today, if that's for you, just be obedient to the Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, we pray today. Listen, guys, want to share some stuff with you as always. We want to give you the opportunity to be a part of our website and what we're doing is in our ministry. So when we give you the opportunity, we want to show you how to do that. You can sign up at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. You can go there. You can subscribe there. You can bookmark the site. Please do that if you've not yet done that yet. And again, the app, please go to your Apple store, your Android store, download the free app. It's right there. It's for you. It's to be a blessing to you. Sign up for the push notifications. There you're going to be able to listen and hear our latest messages and podcasts and updates. It's going to be all right there at your fingertips. And again, it's absolutely free. For those that would like to become a monthly partner of our ministry to help us and support us and to keep us strong and remain strong in what we're doing, we want to give you the opportunity to do that, to sow into this ministry, help us become a monthly partner supporter. You can do that two ways. One is electronically by going to the main website or going to the app, and you can see places there where you can give electronically. Also, if you'd like to give by check or money order, you can do that, making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that is Monroe, Georgia 30655. So as always, guys, we appreciate you taking the time out for today to come on to the broadcast. We're going to sign off for today, and we will probably be off tomorrow on Thursday, but we will be back here on Friday to finish up the week. And then, as I said earlier, I'll be ministering this weekend as well on Sunday morning. I got to preach two services on Sunday morning at my local church here in Monroe, Georgia. So we've got a lot of preaching to do. Y'all pray for my voice that it will hold up and sustain through this. Again, we'll be back on Friday. It looks like on Friday, we're probably going to do a prophetic viewpoint. I'm going to talk about, there's some stuff that's coming out this week that are good talking points that I believe we need to discuss and talk about and get out there. So I'll be looking for that on Friday. We will probably broadcast the message on Sunday live on the live stream. And we somehow I'll get that, and we'll probably put that on our main website, on our app and everything, so you guys can be a part of that service as well. So until then, guys, God bless you. We love you. We'll see you on Friday. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.